We are in the season of Lent, and many of you may be aware that the word Lent means springtime, but it comes from an old German root word that means long. Celebration of the days, of the time when the days are becoming longer. But maybe that's the reason why our lectionary has assigned such long passages of Scripture for this season, because our reading for this morning will come from the Gospel of John, the 9th chapter of the Gospel of John, and we'll be reading verses 1 through 41. You can find it in your pew Bibles on page 932. So at this time, let us listen to God's word for us. As he passed by, he, Jesus, saw a man blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be made manifest in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night comes when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." As he said this, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle and anointed the man's eyes with the clay, saying to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar said, "Is not this the man who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is he." Others said, "No, but he is like him." He said, "I am the man." They said to him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" And he said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. And now it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. The Pharisees again asked him how he had received his sight. And he said to them, "He put clay on my eyes, and I wash and I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner do such signs?" There was a division among them. So they again said to the blind man, "What do you say about him, since he has opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but how he now sees we do not know, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess him to be Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. Therefore his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." So for the second time they called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner." And he answered, "Whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I know, that I was blind. Now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you too want to become his disciples? And they reviled him, saying, You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from. The man answered, Why, this is a marvel. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a blind man. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered him, You were born in utter sin, and would you teach us? And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, he said, Do you believe in the Son of Man? He answered, And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? Jesus said to him, You have seen him, and it is he who speaks to you. He said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. And Jesus said, For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may become blind. Some of the Pharisees near him heard this, and they said to him, Are we also blind? Jesus said to them, If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say, We see, your guilt remains. This is the word of the Lord. One of the things that Jesus comes to do for all of us is to open our eyes. He comes so that we might be able to see. He wants us to see. He wants us to see God in the world. He wants us to see the power of God. He wants us to see the nature and the character of God. He wants us to see the world and to see one another the way that God sees. He comes so that we might be able to see. But seeing is not always easy. Seeing can be difficult, and that's what we learn in our passage for this morning. Jesus and his disciples are in the temple. It is the festival of weeks. And they come across a man who is born blind, a man who cannot see, a man who has lived his life in darkness. We can only imagine what this man's life must have been like, every day steeped in darkness, every day the same routine. Every day going down to the marketplace, having to beg in order to survive. Perhaps we can imagine, too, the questions that were asked. Mommy, Daddy, who is that man who is there begging every day? Oh, sweetheart, he's just a blind man, just a beggar. A man who is unable to see. Mommy, Daddy, why can he see? Why isn't he able to see? Well, sweetie, because he sinned, or someone sinned. That's the way that people saw things back in Jesus' day. God was responsible for everything, and if something bad happened, it was because someone had sinned. And that's the way the disciples saw things as well. Rabbi, who sinned? Is it this man, or was his parents who sinned? That's the way we look at things too sometimes. Who sinned? Who did something wrong? Who can we put the blame on? Maybe it's the individual sin. Maybe it's the government who sinned. Maybe it's the government's fault. Maybe it's society's fault. Who sinned? Someone has done something wrong. Many pastors can tell you about people who come to them during moments of tragedy and distress, wanting to know, who sinned? What did I do? What did I do wrong? Why is my son dying? Why is my grandchildren having this difficult time? Why is my great-grandchild paralyzed? What did I do? Who sinned? But Jesus isn't interested this morning in the sin question. He's not interested in the blame question. Indeed, Jesus seems to suggest that looking for who sinned, seeking to cast the blame, is the wrong way to look at things. The point is not to try to figure out who is to blame, but the point, according to Jesus, is to see every situation as an opportunity for the glory of God to be made manifest. That's the way that Jesus seems to have approached everything he did, not asking who sinned, but how can God's glory be made manifest in this particular situation. We're reminded that in John's gospel, the very first miracle that Jesus performs, the very first sign, is at a wedding. The wine has ran out. It is a social catastrophe. Most of us would have been wondering or seeking who to blame, but Jesus doesn't do that. He sees this social catastrophe as an opportunity to show the overflowing abundance of God's love. And so Jesus turns water into wine so that the party can continue. And that's Jesus' approach when he sees this man who is born blind. He's not worried about who sinned, but he wants to bring God's love and grace and mercy to bear in the midst of the situation. And so Jesus draws near to heal this man. The man doesn't ask for healing. He can't even see Jesus, but Jesus sees him just as Jesus sees all of us and comes near to all of us. And so Jesus seeks to heal this man and to open his eyes. I find it instructive that nowhere in this passage is the man ever referred to as a blind man. That's the way that we often define people. We divide people up into categories, and we see first the category because we believe that's the most important thing about a person. And so when we describe people or define people, that's what we say: a blind man, a black man, a white man, a rich man, a poor man, a young man, an old man. It makes it easier for us to dehumanize people and write them off when we see them first as a category. I was listening to the radio the other day, a program about prisons. It was acknowledging the fact that we here in this country lock up more people than any other nation in the world, in both real numbers and also percentage-wise. We lock up more people than anyone. We lock them up and throw away the key, even when it comes to nonviolent offenses. And the commentator on the radio program noted that the reason we do that is because we see those who engage our criminal justice system not as individuals who commit crimes, but we see them first and foremost as criminals. And so we lock them up and throw away the key. We are not interested in any serious rehabilitation. They don't matter to us. They're criminals. And maybe that's the way the people saw the man in this passage. He's just a blind man. He's just a sinner. He is just a beggar. That's the most important thing about him. He is always destined to be that, always destined to be blind, always destined to stumble in the dark. Just a blind man. But Jesus doesn't see him that way. Instead, Jesus sees him first and foremost as a man, as a human being, a child of God, who happens to have been born blind. And that's the way that John refers to him. He is the man who has been born blind. And so Jesus reaches out and touches the man. He reaches down and spits in the dust and mixes it around and places it on the man's eyes and sends the man away to the pool of Siloam. And when it's all over, the man's eyes have been opened. He has been healed and he can see. No more begging. No more stumbling around in the dark. He can see. But if he thought that his life was going to be easy, he was in for a surprise. Change and transformation often brings disruption. To be touched by God is sometimes a very dangerous thing. And so this man who has been healed, this man who has been touched by God, this man whose eyes have been opened, begins to engage those around him. And even though he can now see, everyone around him appears to be blind, not just physically blind, but spiritually blind, which is the most dangerous and most debilitating kind of blindness that there is. It is dangerous because to be spiritually blind means that you're often not aware, that you're unable to see. To be spiritually blind often means that you sometimes still think that you're doing the will of God. And so everyone around this man is spiritually blind. They're unable to see. They're all trapped in darkness. His neighbors, the people who saw him every day in the marketplace, they don't recognize him. Even though they were the people who saw him every day, some of them probably helped to guide him there to the marketplace. Some of them probably contributed to the tin cup that he held out. Some of them probably spoke to him every day. They came by him, but now they do not recognize him. Some of them say, "Is that the man? It looks like him, but it can't be him because this man can see." And we know the man who is usually here in this location cannot see. They're totally blind to the possibility that this man's life has been touched by the grace of God. Even though the man says again and again, "I am the man. I am the man. I am that person that you see every day. But now I am a new creation. I have been healed. I have been transformed. But I am the man." But they still cannot see. They cannot see the power and the grace of God, even when it has been revealed right before their eyes. But then they go get the religious leaders, the gatekeepers of the tradition, the people who are tasked to make sure that everything is done decently and in order. People like me. I notice that every time this text comes up in the lectionary, that I usually find a way to avoid it, primarily because of this section here, perhaps, because we religious leaders don't come out in good light. I was telling our new members class a couple of Sundays ago that we Presbyterians are people of the book. We go by the book. We go by the Bible, of course, but also the book of order. We like things to be done decently and in order. There is a process by which you do things. You don't do things any old kind of way. Decently and in order. And so the religious leaders here have a problem because this man's healing is out of order. It has been done on the Sabbath day. And everyone knows that you can't work on the Sabbath, you can't even heal on the Sabbath. And so instead of being elated by the fact that this man can see, the religious leaders have the same question that Jesus' disciples had. Who sinned? Someone has sinned. Someone has done something wrong. Who sinned? Whoever did this to you, whoever healed you, is a sinner. But the man who was born blind and now healed doesn't know anything about that. He doesn't know anything about what is supposed to be decent and in order. He doesn't know anything about what is to be done or undone on the Sabbath. He doesn't know anything about who sinned or who hasn't sinned. He doesn't even know at this point a whole lot about Jesus. Doesn't even know Jesus' name. All that he knows is that he was blind. And now he can see. It's not just that his eyes were healed, but he was beginning to see the world in a whole new light. The light of the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of God's love for him, indeed, and God's love for the whole world. I was blind, he says, but now I am beginning to see. Now I can begin to see what the world is really about. Now I can begin to see the true nature and the grace of God. If you've ever experienced your own period of undeniable darkness, whatever that darkness might be, whether it's addiction, whether it is loneliness, whether it is isolation and alienation from others, whether it is depression, whether it is unemployment, you know the periods of darkness that we sometimes face, sickness, fear. We all have those periods in our lives. And if you've ever experienced that darkness and felt the love and the mercy of God, you know exactly what this man is referring to. You know exactly what he's talking about. I was blind, but now I see. Now I understand the love and the grace that God has for me. Now I know who God is. That God is not a God who's just up there ready to get me and judge me, but God is a God who loves me, and God is a God who loves the whole world. That's what God has come for in the Lord Jesus Christ. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. I was blind, but now I see. We live, of course, in a dark world. We live in a world where people don't quite understand that. They don't know why we come to a place like this. They don't know why we would take the time on a Sunday morning when we could be doing all kinds of other things, little league games or eating brunch somewhere. Why would we come to a place like this? And we can't explain it to them. All we can say is what the blind man said, that God has touched our lives. Particularly in those deep, dark moments when we felt alone, when we felt that there was no hope. He has touched our lives and we are blind, and now we can see. I knew a man back home who was an alcoholic for most of his adult life. People used to refer to him in that way. He's just a drunk. Every time they would see him, that's just Tim, he's just a drunk, don't pay any attention to him. He's just a drunk, an alcoholic. That's all he'll ever be. He'll never amount to much, just a drunk. But then one day he met the Lord Jesus Christ, and it turned his world upside down and inside out, and his life changed almost overnight. And people couldn't understand it. They wanted to know what had happened. How did you do that? What kind of program did you go through? How did you make that transition from being a drunk to being a new creation? And he couldn't explain it either. All he could say was that I met the risen Lord. I met the Lord Jesus Christ. I met him and it changed me. I know what God is like. I know a little bit about what God is about. I can see a little bit in the way that God sees. I was blind, but now I can see. I was 12 years old when my Aunt Marianne became sick. She was a young woman herself in her mid to late 20s. She was diagnosed with cancer. It was a dark time in our family. The doctor didn't give her long to live. Indeed, he gathered the family together at one point so that everyone could say their last goodbyes. We belonged to a large church of Christ. The people were friendly, but we hadn't been in a long time. We became sort of alienated from the church. But there was a little chapel not far from our house. We had attended that church one Sunday. I was actually baptized there during the revival that we attended. But the pastor and some of the elders of that little chapel, they found out that my aunt was in the hospital, and so they came and they prayed, and lots of people were praying. They were praying for her, and to make a long story short, she was healed of the cancer. The doctor, I still remember his name, Dr. Corey, he couldn't understand it. He couldn't explain it. He didn't know what the situation was. But my aunt was healed. And it wasn't just that her body was healed. It was the fact that she had begun to see life and experience life in a whole new light. The light of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The light of God's love. And I remember my mother and my aunties making the decision after my aunt got out of the hospital that we would join the little chapel there not far from our house. And on special Sundays, my Aunt Marianne would give her testimony, and she would cap it with her powerful voice, the song Amazing Grace, especially when it says, I was blind, but now I see. I was lost, but now I'm found. There was once a lot that I didn't understand about the world, about my own life, about God, but now I understand it. I know that God is a God of love, that God is a God of mercy, that God is a God of grace, that God is a God who has all of our lives in God's hands, that God cares about us and the whole world. I was blind to all of that, but now I understand. Now I see. And Aunt Marianne is still giving that testimony today. It's been over 40 years, almost 40 years, and she's still giving that testimony today. Jesus comes so that we can see. He wants us to be able to see. He wants us to be able to see the glory of God made manifest in the world. He wants us to be able to see the nature and the character of God. He wants us to be able to see the world and to see one another the way that God sees the world and sees all of us. Can you see? The healing of the blind man is just one of seven signs in John's gospel where Jesus shows us the power and the glory of God. And after each sign, what Jesus is saying in effect is, can you see? Can you see now what God is like? Can you see now what God is about? Can you see the glory of God shining in the midst of the darkness? Can you see? But he doesn't stop with the signs and wonders. He doesn't stop with those magnificent demonstrations of God's power. but he takes us all the way to the cross. And it's there at Golgotha, hanging on the cross, suspended between heaven and earth, that he tells us once again, can you see? Can you see? Can you see the love of God for you and for the whole world? Can you see? We are all this blind man. We are all people who have had our eyes opened. We are all people who are sent to the pool of Siloam to be washed in the waters of baptism. We are all called out to continue to do the work that Jesus started, to be the light that shines in the midst of the darkness, so that the world around us will be able to see the love of God for the whole world. Let us pray. Gracious God, you have reminded us during this season of Lent, as we make our way to the cross, that we do not journey alone, that you are with us, that even though we walk in the valley of the shadow of death, you are by our side, illuminating our path, helping us to see the true nature of the world and the true nature of who you are, that you are the God of love, the God who has all of our lives in your hands. Help us, Lord. Help us to be able to see. We ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.